Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast that is celebrating its 50th episode.
Woo! Bam, 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 bam.
Do you think that'll ever go away? Think people will be making the air horn noises with their mouth? Like centuries from now, people will still be doing blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I follow a up-and-coming DJ on social media, and most of her clips that she posts are just, it's not mixing songs together. It's an abrupt stop with an air horn, and then here's a new song. So the skill of mixing is gone forever.
Yes, no, it's just, that's the hard stop. yeah. And that's but we're not gonna hard stop this podcast, are we? Just because we did the air horn, we're not signaling the end of the podcast, are we? No,
we're not even signaling hard transitions. This will be the Ramblers Forever.
Ramblers Forever. That we could have, man, that would have been a good name for the podcast.
Ramblers Forever. That's yeah. How do you feel about episode 50? Does it feels like this has happened very quickly.
It does feel like it's happened very quickly, and I think it's cool. This has been like one of the more fun podcasts that I've ever done. You know, I've had a few over the years, and I think just because of the structure of it, it's just hanging out with you, my bud. I look forward to it every single week, as opposed to some of my podcasts. I'm just like, I got to spend hours editing this thing, or you know, some podcasts have so much device to them, like whatever right. The premise of the podcast is, you have to do all this homework essentially. And this is just great. We're just like kind of riffing and we're taking questions and it's great. And so I say we got at least another 3 or 4 episodes in us,
at least until January 3rd or the third week in January. That'll get us through our New Year's resolutions, and then we can give up on them before February.
Oh, I thought you meant we're gonna complete all of our resolutions by the third week of January. Is that one of your resolutions?
My God, could you imagine?
Achieve all of your goals by the third week of January.
My inbox is looking empty. So, spoiler: one of my goals is email related. So
okay, well, we did skip over a couple of things. My name is Matt Alano Martin. With me as always is Dwight Simmons. We are this podcast. We are Matt and Dwight, and this podcast is at its core a comedy podcast where we talk about our lives as Midwest based comedians and our wins and losses in comedy, our hopes and dreams, our goals, our disappointments. And this episode we are going to talk about our three accomplishments from this past year and our three goals. We've been teasing this for the last couple of weeks. We've been taking those from listeners. Listeners have sent in their accomplishments in comedy this year and the goals that they have for 2024. And those have all been great. Thank you, everybody who sent those in. We've got a couple more today to talk about that were sent in, but we are going to finally reveal ours. And I feel like that this is like a Christopher Nolan movie, whereas if you've listened to the first 49 episodes of this podcast, nothing we're going to say is going to be a surprise.
Right.
You're going to already know what the big accomplishments we had this year were because you've been with us all year long. And we've also talked about what we're striving for. So I guess in a way, people, if you are new to the podcast, this is the one episode. You don't listen to those other 49. This is the summary. This is the best of. This is the compilation. This is the mixtape.
Yeah.
Of all this 49 episodes.
This is a neat bow on the year. We started, I don't think it was a resolution for us to like continue this. I've had podcasts where I've started and like 12 episodes in just ghosted the listeners. Just no, this is the last episode. No reasoning. Just, I don't feel like doing this anymore. And this hasn't felt like that. And it's also, I feel like it's pushed me at least to, in all aspects, at least think critically about booking, writing, and having not so much of a goal, but definitely something that you want to accomplish every time you get on stage. So it's been good, and thanks everyone for sticking with us. Our listeners have gone up incrementally, dipped down, and then went back up. So I think people like when we talk about how to make more money, like a money making pot. Shocker.
I mean, can we just make the title of every episode that, and then we don't really talk about that? Can we do old bait and switch, which is, by the way, one great way to make money. Bait and switch, fantastic way to make money.
First of all, the show titles are never what the show's about. So this is not too far removed from what the truth actually is. But before we get into those, I didn't have any shows this week. We had a bunch of family time, and that was cool. We did Megan's Christmas for, we didn't have to travel, which was nice. They all came down from Wisconsin and Chicago, and it was cool, man. It was fun. Full week off, and now I have a show tonight, and I am itching at the bit.
Okay,
that happens
good.
Over like, you know, you get 10 days off, and then you're like, I need to take out my rage and frustration on a room full of strangers. So,
well, first of all, like, you just talked about how great the holidays were, and then you just follow that up with, I need to take out this rage and frustration on somebody.
Well, it's, you know, it's family time. It's, it's, if 50% of the time is great, then that's an excellent weekend. But, you know, we host the stressful. We have to, like, we have to work around kids' schedules for our, for people that have kids in the family, people need places to crash. It's just nonstop. So that's getting away and being able to think alone, that is, you know, that's something that's really cool about doing stand-up, is that you can make an excuse to, hey, I got to write, but it's really just you playing Fortnite.
Exactly.
This is how I write. This is how I
do a lot of writing on the PlayStation.
But yeah, I'm excited. You had, you actually went to a mic this week?
Yeah, I I also had a like a pretty eventful week last week, and I don't want to like not talk about this. I do want to commemorate the fact that the passing of my father-in-law Fortunato passed away actually on the Friday that Denise and I were still in Vegas. So on the 8th he passed away, but we had his service last week, and it was really beautiful and lovely. And you know, my father-in-law was a really great dude, but he was 90 years old and he passed away in his sleep. And so I mean, really as perfect as you could ask for in that situation, you know? But we saw, so all of last week was a lot of family time and stuff like that. But I did have one night where I wasn't up in Indian Carmel, which is where he had lived and where all the family stuff was taking place, that I did have to myself. And so I did go to the Addicts open mic like a psychopath.
That's it.
You know, and so and it was good. And then when you're in those things too, where, you know, it can be a good release, you know, like I don't know, I think I've talked about this before on the podcast, but, you know, I had to do stand up, you know, the night that I found out my friend Sophia had died, which was completely out of the blue and everything. And because of the situation, the circumstances, I couldn't cancel on that show. And it was actually what I needed to do. You know, it just like, cause you get in your muscle memory and you're performing and everything like that. And so instead of being crying and being sad, I'm now forced into being this actor and this vessel of joy. Cause that's what you're trying to, you know, at least the way that I do stand up is I try to be, you know, it's a happy, fun time, you know? And so, it was, you know, it was good getting up on the mic on Thursday. I had some fun. But I did want to comment about this, cause we do a little pre-show before we start rolling. Like, hey, is there anything we want to talk about? And I normally wouldn't discuss every single mic that I've done, but the Attic Open Mic, as usual, absolutely packed, you know, basically sold out. And you know, and there were some young guys that got up for the first time that were bad in the way that young guys are bad at comedy.
Yep.
Nothing to report there, you know. But then a guy got up easily into his 60s, if not
older. I
like
older, where this is going.
And just did 5 minutes of street jokes.
Oh no.
And they were the kind of long form sort of story, like the kind of like the street joke that you would tell a family member at a cookout as if it actually happened to you.
Yeah.
And then at the end you realize like, oh, that's just, this is just a dumb joke. Right.
Right.
And he killed. He killed in front of this crowd doing street jokes because they don't know that they're street jokes. Right. Like the common person, the average person coming in, either A, doesn't know that, oh, that's a joke from like the 60s. Like that's how long that street joke has been around.
Damn.
Or they don't care. Like there's also people that come to a comedy club that just don't give a shit.
They,
you know?
Yeah. They don't care about stolen material. Like, especially at an open mic. Did he have people there?
There's a little crew of people that he had brought. And that is the thing that's very telling at open mic, particularly at the Attic open mic, which is a college town. You can see the pockets of people in the audience who are there for certain people. Like there's all these, you know, a frat guy will go up because he lost his fantasy football draft or whatever. There's an entire section of his fraternity brothers, right? You know, same thing. And so he had a whole, like, you know, like two tables, three tables of older people, his friends, who were there watching him to support him, you know, do this thing. And it's one of those things where you want to call him out, you want to just like talk shit on stage. Cause I went up two comics after him. And I was like, but it's also just like, you know, this is like, maybe this was a bucket list thing he ever did, you know?
It's like, this is, but also, if a comic kills before you, the only people that are going to get it if you make fun of him are the comics. So you're really playing the back of the room, which is fine if that's how you want to spend your set, which...
Digging a hole at the beginning, like shitting on this adorable old man
who told
a bunch of like dirty street jokes.
Good luck with the rest of your set at that point.
You're like, I don't care. You all need to know this. I will sacrifice my set so that you know
this.
You
this
still won't agree with it. You still will not agree with me, but you at least you will know.
This joke he did was debuted in 1942. You got your phone out. See? You guys are idiots. You laugh at this anyway.
You're so dumb. You're so dumb, all of you. You're so dumb.
Y'all finally ready to laugh at some original material.
Yeah. Anyway, so here's why I'm depressed, if I can use your transition. So it was, but I did talk to the booker, the open mic. I was like, you know, because the booker was like in the green room and didn't really hear this guy set. But it wasn't just me and a couple other comics were like, that's a street joke. We know that one from such and such. My uncle told that to me when I was 12, you know? And so we did tell the booker, like, yo, you need to tell that guy, if he signs up, he can't do other people's material again. Like if he signs up again, he's just like, no, this is for comics working on their original material. But I had fun, you know, and I did a little crowd work. Posted a clip from it. It's fine. You know, it's
like, we work for the algorithm.
Selling my soul, baby.
Can't stress it enough. We work for the algorithm now. You want to eat or not, Matt? You want to eat?
But that was the only show that I did last week. And then before we get into our stuff, though, about talking about our accomplishments and our goals and sort of the main theme of this episode of the podcast, let's talk about our upcoming dates. We usually bury this shit in like the last 30 seconds of the podcast. But let's do it now while we still have like 28% of the listeners are still clued in. So what do you got coming up that you want to let the people know about, Dwight?
All right. This comes out Thursday, 21st. If you are December 21st, if you are listening to this, I will be at Hotel Tango in Indianapolis at 8 p.m. It's a free show. Come through. Good cocktails, good lineup. And then the 22nd and the 23rd, I will be in Dayton. That's Friday and Saturday. I'll be at the Dayton Funny Bone. You can go to their website. You can go to DwightSimmons.com. Get away from your family before Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Should be fun. I'm excited. My first time headlining this club, so it would be nice to pack it out. So if you're in the Dayton area, come through.
Nice. What I have coming up next week is after the holidays on the 28th, on Thursday, the 28th, I'll be at Memento Zero Proof Bar in Fishers, Indiana. This is a new place and a new concept. It's basically it's a no alcohol bar. It's a bar for adults to hang out in and socialize and have events like this comedy show that I'm going to be headlining. But it's actually absolutely alcohol proof and zero proof, if you will. And as a sober guy, I'm very honored that they asked me to headline this show. Dustin Burkhart reached out to me to headline it. So that'll be fun.
He's good people, man.
Yeah. And then on the 30th and 31st, I'll be headlining the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana. The 30th, we're just doing one show and then two shows on the 31st, including the big New Year's Eve countdown, champagne toast and all that kind of good stuff. And then I just jumping ahead real quick. I want to say the following week, I will be in Colorado. I'm only doing two shows while I'm there. On Thursday, January 4th, I'll be headlining Sushi High in Denver. And then on Saturday, the 6th, I'll be one of the many performers performing at the 51st Jokes event at the Bug Theater in Denver. And tickets for all those things available on my website and by Googling. You can just Google, usually. Yep. Google's pretty good. It usually gets you there.
It's in the show notes as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. There you go.
So you're doing that alcohol-free show.
Mm-hmm.
Is it an alcohol-free bar just a coffee shop? Is it just a Starbucks?
I think they have a lot of mocktails, is my understanding. Is like, so the environment and the setting is more like a cocktail bar. So, you know, which is a different vibe than a coffee shop. You know, coffee shops are bright. And so I'm assuming it's going to be dim and sexy in there. And it's just going to be people complaining about how weak the drinks are. You know, people that don't know are going to be like, hey, I had three of these things. I swear, I don't feel nothing.
They wander in. They still have like a DJ. It's all the elements of a real club.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm excited for that. Dustin puts on great shows. So.
Yeah, my first time working for Dustin. I mean, we've known each other for a minute, but I'm looking forward to it for sure. All right. Without further ado, should we jump into the big reveal of our accomplishments for this year, this past year, and our goals? We want to do that?
Yeah. You want to? I think we should go. I go, you go.
Okay.
You go,
one,
I go.
One for one?
One for
roast,
one.
Roast battle?
Bar for bar, son. Bar Welcome to the cypher.
Yep.
Roast battle. Yeah, you just shit on all of my accomplishments and I'll do the same.
Okay, sounds good.
Boost that listenership.
You going first or am I going first?
You go first.
All right. My first of my three accomplishments for 2023, looking, and this was also a valuable lesson. I'm so glad that we did this challenge, not for ourselves, but also for our listeners who are comedians or just anybody. It's so easy to forget your wins and just be always focusing on the next thing. Or, you know, it's good to take stock every now and then. And so literally looking back over the past year, this made me feel better about things really in a lot of ways. Like, so my number one is I did a few new festivals this past year, which both of these were ones that I'd been wanting to do for a while. I did Treefort in Boise, Idaho, which is more of a music festival, but there is a comedy aspect to it too. And they had great, you know, headliners like Tig Notaro and, you know, Shane, Shane Torres, yeah. And, you know, a couple other really greats. And those shows were a lot of fun. Got to see some really cool bands while I was there. And then I also did Alaska Before You Die, which is maybe the festival that I've had the most FOMO about every time I see people posting about it.
Yeah.
Like, I was just like, I want to go to Alaska. I want to pet a musk ox, you know, and also do some comedy. So those were like big for me that I got to do those, you know? So, that's my first one. What's your first accomplishment?
That's awesome, man. I love
it. Or do you want to roast my accomplishments? And then
you want to pet an ox kind of accomplishment. Congratulations, Matt. You pet it.
You could have just gone to the petting zoo, but he went all the way to Alaska like a moron.
Yeah. I'm not the roast guy. I'm the wrong guy for this exercise.
Yeah.
I'm like, what you did when you talked about the roast that you did, you're like, yeah. You had to be heavy into research and then just also be a little nice.
Yeah. And also call in a ringer. I had to call in a comic who was very good at being mean. Like, hey, help me be mean to this person. You know?
Yeah. They're like, Dwight, just stop smiling and laughing so much. Yeah. My first accomplishment was in January. I taped my special at the Comedy Attic, which was a result of a lot of quarantine material. So it was nice to be able to put all that stuff together, work it on the road, and then in my view, execute it really well by reaching out to a production company. Don't get stuff unless you ask for it, I think. So I reached out, you know, and just put it together, and doing it at the Comedy Attic was really special. It's still one of my favorite clubs in the country. It's the club where I started. It felt like a home game. And since its release, it hasn't done like incredible numbers, but it's afforded me quite a few opportunities from people just reaching out, getting like corporate stuff, getting clips. It's boosted my social media presence. So all these things kind of coalescing coming from that. And I'm proud of it, even though it's, you know, it hasn't done tremendous numbers. I'm proud of the material. And I'm excited to get to work on the next one. With the vision of like, okay, here's where I can improve. Here are the changes I would make. I really want to, I think we talked about this a little bit, but get some of my older bits updated and get them on tape just for, you know, those clips. They don't exist anywhere. So put them out.
Yeah.
You know? And I can do that all the time. So
right on. Yeah. Learn. Man, you're starting hot. I can't wait to see what number two and number three is, because I'm kind of ramping up.
You're ramping. Oh, I'm ramping down.
You're ramping down. You started with your biggest one. Okay, good. All right. Okay. No, but that's great. And special is great, and you should be proud of it. And you never know what the way things are. Maybe it'll catch fire. Like, you know, people will discover it after the fact, and it'll, you know, because it's on the internet forever, you know.
That's as my mama told me.
Yeah.
Boy, don't put that on there.
My second accomplishment for last year is I finally started writing again after a very long dry spell. I was going through the longest creative rut of my comedy career, like including even like during the pandemic year. I wasn't focusing on comedy. I was working at the Boys and Girls Club, and so I don't count that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think even from that, I came out of that with some bits and, you know, jokes about the kids at the club and some ideas about the pandemic and stuff. But man, like, yeah, 2021, 2022, man, it was dry.
Yeah.
And I just wasn't creating much. But this year I kind of like it kind of broke loose, you know, the log jam broke loose, and I've been writing more and I'm feeling more in the spot. And so that is an accomplishment that I'm very happy to say that I had this year, and that I'm content trying to keep that momentum on it too, keep writing and stuff like that.
That's impressive. That's one that like people just don't overcome, like a long dry spell. And that's because it's hard. And you're like, what's wrong with me? I'm never going to create another joke ever again. Am I even funny? You start to have this existential crisis. And I think that pulling yourself out of that is very difficult. So I'm happy. Yeah. I'm happy about that because I love your writing.
Thanks,
and,
man.
I got a, so number two is something that happened from a gig that I did. I was elected to the board of directors at the Kurt Vonnegut Museum and Library, mm-hmm. which the short story is I did a house show for like, I don't know, $70, but it was close, and I was working on all this material. And I think Florida had just banned, I don't, it could have been like 20 of things that they've banned of like teaching Black history in, or teaching Black history in K mm-hmm. through like 8, and they banned all these books from libraries. So I had a bunch of material about that. And the founder of the Kurt Vonnegut Museum and Library was there. She saw me, we chatted a little bit, didn't think anything of it. And then a couple of days later, she asked me to perform at this gala. Mm-hmm. And I did a good job. I just did a good job. And then the material was directly correlated to their theme, which is book banning, mm-hmm. and something that I'm very passionate about. It's like, you know, we're talking about freedom of expression, freedom mm-hmm. of speech, because when they ban these books, they're not banning the book. They're banning people's voices, people of color's mm-hmm. voices, people of LGBTQ authors and things like that. So something that I'm passionate about, and something that I'm very excited to get started with, because I think ultimately I would like a lot of my material to reflect that mindset of, hey, this is a goofy dude telling jokes, but there's also a bit of intelligence and social justice behind it. This is my favorite mm-hmm. type of comedy. So yeah, that's number two for me.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big one. So I don't know if you're actually ramping down. I think you're just paralleling at a very high level, like all your accomplishments.
Paralleling.
Making me feel pretty bad about my accomplishments. I'm like, I wrote a joke this year.
This is
pretty happy about it. You're Matt, like, I got nominated to a board of directors, and I'm like helping, you know, defend free speech. And, you know, that's, you know, just a little thing that I've been doing, but I'm glad that you wrote a joke this year, Matt. Good for you. You know,
this is how I'm sending out emails. I am just being super hyperbolic. This is how,
as a defender of free speech, as a defender of free speech, I would love to come play your bar show in Michigan for $50.
Oh, they would love that. They don't even know what it means.
Well, you said free. We like free. Free's good. We like freedom.
We like free. Yeah. This is how we roast each other, by just being extremely proud and happy mm-hmm. for one another, and also being like, oh, I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
I didn't do that.
I didn't write as much as Matt.
Yeah. I'm just like, well, I'm just like, you know, I'm like, you know, like you, you're doing this other like kind of stuff, you know, getting on the board of directors. I'm just like a real comic, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like a comedian.
I ain't got,
you're like, no, you're doing all that high-minded stuff, you know, serving on boards and stuff, and you know, and I'm glad you do. Somebody needs to do it, but you know, I'm just like a comic, you know, I'm just like a real ass cop. No, all right.
Go to my TikTok. It's got some crowd work clips.
Yeah, come see some crowd work clips that are not doing very well on TikTok. Remind me, I do need to give the update on my social media purchasing plan and how the results of that. That's a thing that we've been doing, like letting people know and stuff, anything like that. But all right. But first, let's get through the accomplishments. Number three, speaking of bait and switch, I'm going to start with one and then I'm going to, this was my thought process as I was writing this out. I was initially going to say that my third accomplishment was I posted more to social media than I ever have, which is true. I had a big push at the beginning of the year, and then I got burnt out, and I didn't do it for a while. And then I got this new camera, and I started doing it again. So kind of in the middle of the year, I didn't post much. But I have never posted this many clips before, you know, and trying to really, you know, just hope something that catches or just kind of see what can happen from that. But it doesn't really feel like much of an accomplishment because I don't think it accomplished much, right? Like I did get a few more followers on Instagram, a few more followers on TikTok. I'm now officially over 1,000 followers on TikTok, which I was languishing like at 980 forever.
Yeah.
So it's cool, but nothing ever blew up. I never had a viral clip or anything. So instead, what I want to say for my third accomplishment is I really think my biggest accomplishment for the year, and I was talking about ramping up this, I think my biggest accomplishment was overcoming the disappointment of my special flopping, which happened at the very end of last year. Mm-hmm. My special came out in this week, like the week of Christmas in 2022, and it bombed and it was not good and I wasn't proud of it. And I, at some point, like after being sad about it and depressed and realizing nothing was going to happen from it and that I probably should have not let them release it, I just got over it and I just decided, okay, if that's the one thing I get, like I had somebody reach out to me, like this fairly large entity in comedy, Helium, you know, comedy mm-hmm. club started this Helium Studios thing. They wanted to do a special with me and it flopped. Maybe that was my one shot. Maybe I'm not ever going to get another shot. And if this is as far as I go with my career, I should enjoy it. I should have mm-hmm. fun while I'm on stage and enjoy where I am. You know, and so it's really turning that disappointment into gratitude, essentially, for what I've already accomplished and where I am. And because of that, it all followed. I started writing more because I wasn't, you know, the year before that, I was gearing up to recording an album, recording that special, you know, so I was just running because I, you know, wound up recording my actual album at the beginning of this year, like a few weeks after I recorded the special. I was at the Comedy Fort, recorded the album. And so, the recording of the album in 2022. So it took so long for the special to come out. It took over a year for the special to come out. So, but I just kind of got over all of that and really embraced having fun on stage and being okay with who I am and where I am in comedy. And I think that was the biggest accomplishment because it was a blow, man. It was mm-hmm. like, okay, well, that was my one thing. Yeah. And this drunk lady, you know, kind of fucked it up, but I mm-hmm. also could have done it better. I could have handled her better. You know, there's a lot of, I'm not saying it's all her and all me or all Helium,
right.
But there are a lot of missteps in there and the entire thing. And so that's to me was my biggest accomplishment. It was just kind of like getting out of that headspace and just getting back into a more positive and fun-loving headspace, like the fun-loving criminals. You remember those guys? Remember the fun-loving criminals?
I do not.
Okay, a real shitty white rapper band, kind of.
They're I'm writing like it down.
They were kind of like the Bloodhound Gang, I guess. Was that the name of a Bloodhound Gang album? I'm also Googling it right now.
Do you know you can only be fun-loving criminals if you're a white band?
Yes, of course.
This is outrageous. Because, you know,
because it's a rock band. I'm sorry. Of course, once I say the song, then you and all of our listeners will know who exactly I'm talking about. They're an American rap rock band from New York City. They are best known for their hit Scooby Snacks, which features samples from films by Quentin Tarantino and the song Love Unlimited.
Oh, my God, dude. Scooby Snacks, fun-loving criminals.
That's your off-topic music reference for this episode of the podcast.
I love that.
We're going deep and weird.
Pull it up. Well, I don't think you're a fun-loving criminal. I think you're just a fun-loving human being, but I don't know. You might do crime. I liked your clip about being a klepto.
Yeah, I was. That was. I was a big klepto when I was a drunk. Thank you.
So maybe you were a fun-loving criminal. I don't know.
I was a very fun-loving criminal when I was a blackout drunk back in the day.
This is so we had probably a two-month stretch of where every episode we released, people were like, Matt, you doing okay?
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, someone just texted you the suicide hotline. like, hey, man, listen, keep going. Keep going, guy. Like, I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I was literally just being honest and also making jokes about stuff. But yeah, people took it really. So once again, everybody, that's all good. We don't need to send those types of emails. We love it when you do email the podcast, but we don't need mental check-in emails right now. So.
That's awesome. So you feel energized going into next year as opposed to last year where you felt depleted because this thing that you weren't proud of came out and you're like, I remember you were like, you know, I think you handled that drunk woman as you would if it wasn't being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that it's recorded is so like, it's so like, she's not mic'd.
She's not mic'd. And so you can't tell that she's talking through the entire show. And and so
there's no context.
Yeah, there's no context to it. As much as Jimmy, Jimmy Chairman, the director, tried to give context. He did a really good job editing it to try to paint the picture. Like, this is what's going on with this woman. It just wasn't great. And she took me out of my game. And so my performance was not great. And then, you know, as we've talked about in the podcast before, like when it came out, like, you know, and then like another drunk dude steps on my fucking closer, you know, which is like this heavy emotional thing. And so the whole show probably should not have been released. But, you know, I got talked into it as like this weird sociological experiment. And I don't know if that's the kind of first thing you want out there in the world, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and again, and now, would my opinion of this be wildly different if it did millions of views and people loved it? Yes, of course. But you know, as is, like, I'm almost kind of glad that not many people have seen it, because I don't think it's a good representation of me, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, we don't need to rehash. I know we talked about this was going to be a mixtape and a best of. We don't need to go all back into things that we talked about over the years on this podcast.
Matt's doing well, everybody.
You're doing okay, everybody. What about you? What's your number three?
My number three, it's been a while since I had applied to festivals, and I did 5 this year. And I headlined 2. I was a headliner at the Milwaukee Comedy Festival and at Middle Ground here in my home state of Indiana. It was an honor. That was its inaugural year, and they trusted me with their baby. Mm-hmm. And I felt strong during both of them. Like, they caught me in parts of the year where I felt really, really strong. And, you know, there's a thing where you're going to festivals after weeks of headlining and you're doing like 7 to 10 minute sets. Mm-hmm. It's just a different mind set. Cause you're like, all right, who's going to be in the room?
Right.
They want to, if they see me twice, do I have to change up material? Like, that's always in the back of your, cause you can do it. Or do you just do the 10 minutes that you feel most confident with now? So I would say, you know, I had a ball at 10,000 Laughs. It's still one of the best festivals in the country. The sets were short, did 7 minutes, and just had fun. Just had fun with it. So, like I said, I'm not doing festivals next year. I am doing West End because I applied for it, and it's in February, but I'm not applying anymore next year. But getting into festivals is important because there's industry, and it's validation that you're on the right track. And you get to, you know, this is the most important, not just the industry, but the comics you meet from around the country that will book shows for you, that will tell you who books shows. It's invaluable. So it was nice to be able to re-up those contacts because I hadn't done that in several years.
Yeah. So. And that's an important note, because those people change in the scenes. Those people will change, you know. Yeah. I will say one thing that you talked about, that's, again, it is like, you have to make that estimation in a festival situation of like, do I do I switch it up, you know, so people don't think I only have 10 minutes, or do I just kind of do my best hand? I think it depends on the size of the festival. One thing I will say from Alaska Before You Die is I did see a comic very good, but I saw them do the same set verbatim. And it's a smaller festival. Like, as far as the attendees of the shows, it is, you know, it's mostly the other comics in the festival. You know, there are regular ticket buying people, but it's not a ton. But, you know, it's structured in a way that you kind of all just kind of go watch each other all the time. And so I got it. I got why this comic was doing that going in. I'm just like, this was my killer 10. I'm just going to do this killer 10. But I was in after the second or third time of watching it, I was like, oh, because they'd also jumped on like a sort of like a specialty brunch show and everything like that.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, oh, is this all this person has? Like,
yeah.
And also, like, at certain point, like, this is low stakes. You should be more having fun.
Yeah.
You know, I would understand if it was JFL or something like that, you know, like, or where there were a ton of industry where, okay, I'm going to have to crush, you know,
every show. Yeah.
Yeah. But again, there's no right answer for that for sure. But it is something that, just as the Booker of Limestone, you know, one of the bookers of Limestone, I guess, technically, guys that runs it, I guess, I was watching that person being like, and that makes me not want to have them in my festival.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, if you can't, I mean, you even send this in the acceptance email, that prepare 2-minute sets.
Right, two different sets, yeah.
Because, you know, it's a smaller town. There's a high likelihood. Yeah. It's highly
can't
likely.
Believe you're on the can't believe on the board of directors of the Kurt Vonnegut Museum.
These meetings are taking a very long time. Got Elmer Fudd over here. So it's like you being up front, or a festival being up front saying, hey, just prepare 2 different sets. I don't think any festival I did this year did that, industry or not. So you just don't know. It's a call, but you know, it's valuable to take more than 10 minutes to a festival. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you want to show off a little bit, for sure.
Yeah.
I think we're ready to move on to the goals for next year. Do you want to get us rolling on that, since I started?
Yeah. So my first goal is I want to reach 10,000 followers on Instagram. I'm about 4,000 away. I want to reach that by April. So coming up with a social media plan that is realistic and executable, not saying I'm going to post a reel every single day, like actually coming up with something that's actionable to help me get over the hump. I think in the last 3 months, I've grown from 3,000 to 6,000. So kind of finding momentum in a schedule that works for me, higher quality stuff versus consistent posting trash,
which is what I'm going with consistently posting trash. I'm like, every day I got hot fresh trash for you, this hot fresh trash every day. No, hot this fresh, is I think
Little Caesars, right?
Yeah. I think this is valuable and good. And I think this makes me excited for this next 4 months of the podcast, as you can report to us, as I've been kind of dabbling in doing promoted posts for the same thing. All my promoted posts, the idea behind almost all of them is to grow followers, right?
Right.
And so it'll be interesting for you to share your process and how you're going about doing this, trying to like jump up to that extra, you know, you're trying to get 1,000 a month. You're setting it for April.
Right.
So you're trying to get 1,000 followers per month. So I'm excited. And, you know, everyone else listening is too, to kind of learn from you as you go.
I picked Instagram because it's still my favorite, and it's still the one that I use the most. I feel like I know it the best. I know what they're looking for, to reach audience. And, you know, I never want to set a social media goal that is for every platform. Like, originally when I was thinking about this, I was like, oh, I can grow blah, blah, blah on TikTok and then grow on Facebook. If I just focus on Instagram, I think I'll have a better shot.
Yeah.
And then we'll see about expanding platforms. That's just for me personally.
Are you not going to post the same clips on TikTok? I mean, after you've already got them all edited and everything?
Maybe. I might, because I don't know if it helps or hurts to upload and edit natively. This is getting into the weeds.
Yeah.
versus, so I don't want to spend a bunch of time editing a video two or three times. So
Right,
until I
yeah.
do a little bit more research on what translates, what TikTok wants to see, if they want you to use only CapCut and versus their software, I don't know. So
yeah.
I don't have an
Yeah.
answer for it. I have been doing it. I've just had the most success so far on Instagram. So that's what the goal is, but I'm not setting a TikTok goal. I will continue posting. And if TikTok takes off, then I'll be able to dive into why this particular thing take off.
Yeah, I should do more research. And this is, I'm jumping ahead, but I also have like, this is one of my goals. I'll just do this one now. Mine is also to be consistent on social media, right? Because like I started the beginning of this year, I was really, and I'm like watching all these like YouTube tutorials of like, here's what the algorithm wants this month, you know, da, da, da. Like, these are the times you're supposed to. And I was like, okay, I can take 5 minutes to watch this video and go, okay, they're saying 9 a.m. now is the time that you want to post or whatever.
Yeah.
And now it's 10:30 p.m., whatever, you know. I can just basically like, all right, I can spend enough time doing that. I'm doing the same thing. I don't have a goal, but mine is to just grow my follower base by being more consistent and deliberate on social media. And so I feel like this is going to be a theme for the podcast, which is fair because this is what so much of comedy is living and getting out there right now. So as we go into this process, we'll definitely share it, but that's definitely one of my goals for this year too. I wonder if like how many of our goals are going to sync up actually. So
I mean, they may overlap and how we get there.
Do you have Get on BET? Because that's on mine. I'm gonna
man
I'm
I
gonna
wanna
be the next Gary Owen. That's what
I
I'm
said.
Gonna do.
I just say Miss Pat owes me a spot on one of her shows for humiliating me several times as an open micer.
You should hit her up. You'd be like, can I just have a walk out? You can humiliate me on your show. You're talking about on her sitcom, right? On her sitcom?
Yeah, on her sitcom or on her, she's a judge on a show. She's like Judge Miss Pat. Like the time I walked in the green room and I was in balding denial and she is like, damn, it looked like somebody set a cup on that boy's head in front of everybody. So I was trying to grow a goatee. She's like, you look like a Q-tip, which doesn't make sense, but it's hilarious. It looked like a Q-tip. Boy, it looked like a cartoon carrot. I was like, how do you think this fast?
Well, I think when it doesn't have to make any sense, it's quick and easy. That boy looked like a cartoon carrot. I don't know how you say that about you or any black man. Like, does she not know what color carrots are?
You can't come back.
It's not like you got red hair. Sense. It's not like exactly. It's not like you, Donald Trump. You know, all orange and shit. You know, like
I don't know, man.
Oh, look at this kumquat looking motherfucker. What?
Yeah, I would have.
You have to Google. You have to Google what a kumquat looks like. You're like.
Do not test Miss Pat in a roast battle.
Oh man, that has come up with like actually I like that strategy. Now next time I'm in a roast battle, I'm just gonna say the most insane shit that All right, no, for real, what's your second one?
My goal? Second one is okay, it's a writing goal and this is for the entire year. I want 30 minutes of writing in the morning and 30 minutes of writing at night. 30 minutes of writing in the morning will be a free writing exercise, like the brain drain. I find that when I've done this in the past, I've never done it past a couple weeks, but I do feel, it's like a meditation. I do feel clearer when I do it. And then when I get back to it a couple months later, I'm like, why haven't I been doing this? I feel like I'd be so much further in just my actual writing, which is what I want to focus on at night. You know, I want to focus on structuring sets, reworking bits. I want to do that for just 30 minutes. And a tip I picked up was, you know, if you just schedule this time through your week, like I have to do this. It's like almost like if you scheduled a meeting for yourself. I have to do this. So that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, because I want to flush out these bits that I'm working on and they're difficult and I'm kind of stuck with them. These new bits that are doing well, but kind of are plateauing. And so I gotta push past that mental block. you know, a lot of times when you're close to stuff working, you want to step away, but I don't feel like I'm at that point. I feel like I'm at a point where I had to push past whatever writer's block or whatever's there that isn't quite getting these bits over the hump. And I feel like if I do this, it will kind of force me to get out to ask for more showcases and go to local mics a little bit more because things will be fresher. I'll be more excited about tags and ideas. So, yeah.
Well, I think that's a great one. And I don't have that one as one of my goals, but I have been thinking about doing not necessarily 30 and 30, but thinking about having a designated writing period. And I really wanted to embrace more of like the free writing because I've never done it. I've never done I, that's not true. I did do a Mishka Shibali like put forth a writing challenge for a month with all of his friends and social people who wanted to participate. And I did do it during that. But I also found it to be like kind of like the sad, it was like sad journaling, but I think maybe there's stuff in there that can be pulled out for jokes, you know? So I also want to try and, which this kind of fits into my second one, I guess in a weird way, it does actually kind of parallel. What I had written down though, is I want to finish this current hour as it's starting to come together, because it's coming together enough that I can like, oh, this is kind of the theme, this idea of turning 50, celebrating 20 years of marriage, which is like in a joke structure, and then 10 years of sobriety. All of those things happened in the same year. All this happened this year, right? And so for the next year or two on stage, I'm gonna be 50, by the way, and celebrating 10 years of sobriety instead of 11 and 12 as I work this, because I'm just like, fuck it. I'm
Run
going
that.
to record it as if I as if this is now. I gonna have to do
I love
this
that.
for the structure of it. Now again, like if I don't get around to recording it for 20 years, I'm not going to be able to pull that off. But you know, I think there's enough strong theme of like these three tent poles, essentially, like these are three big topics that I can kind of frame things around. And then I have other stuff in there too that comes off of it, you know, the stuff about marriage, and I can get to talking about my sister and her kids, and like, you know, there's like family stuff can come into it too. But I think doing free writing is going to be a big part of that, like to trying to like really just think about these ideas, because I do feel very lazy sometimes, even though I've had a pretty good year of like writing again and being creative. I still feel like, you know, I still feel like I am lazy. There's no better way to put it. I was trying to get my let myself off the hook a little bit there, but it's laziness. Like if a joke just doesn't pop into my head anymore in the last couple of years, if a joke doesn't come to me, you know, at least like here's all the basic parts, I can then tweak it and work on it. But I used to like just really be like, there's something funny here, right? Like, you know, like an old joke of mine was, you know, talking about fake bacon, right? Like this vegan muffin that had fake bacon in it. And so like that's the, and so I started there and like more like how you write, where you were like, I'm going to talk about this topic, how do I make it funny? And it's been a long time since I've done that, and I feel like I need to get back to it, because I still feel like my second album, Bloodmouth, is my strongest album, and that's where I was really hitting my stride with that kind of writing. And so I want to apply that with now my skill and confidence as a performer, and just general knowing myself better as a comedian. Like if I can take that work ethic that I had year five, year six into comedy when I first started working on Bloodmouth, and apply it to now, I think that'll be good. So that's my goal. So second goal is very close, because I want to finish up the hour and hopefully record it either the end of the year or beginning of next year
I love
is
that.
the goal. Yeah.
That's great. I
All
did think,
right.
well, real quick, important
Okay.
for anyone that wants to free write, you're not rereading this. It's important. Like you can date it and you can free write, but you're not rereading this. This is
Yeah.
just at least how I've done it. That's been helpful. You're just everything like you everything that's in your brain, you're scribbling on paper, and then by like day three or four, you'll start to like generate ideas. Don't have a goal of I hope a joke comes out. Just free write past that like sad journaling phase. If it's sad, it's sad. If it's happy, if there's stuff you're excited about, just anything. There's no self-edit. You're turning off the self-edit, which is different than the nighttime writing that I'm doing, which is all right, let's buckle down and have a set purpose.
Yeah,
I
for
wanted to make
sure.
that distinction.
No, I think that's an important distinction to make for sure. All right, third goal for the year.
Third goal for the year is called booking integrity. Okay, so
Okay.
yeah, so I'm looking at my dates for next year, and in, by the end of June, it's pretty light. So by the end of June, I want to have the groundwork set that I'm only taking gigs. I'm only saying yes to new rooms that I want to get into, that pay well, that I, maybe don't enjoy, but they pay well, or that I think are fun, or that are, things that I want to do. I'm no longer starting in the summer going to take these tryout gigs that ultimately, I've done it enough to know that ultimately they haven't paid off or it's just a runaround. I'm not doing that anymore. I think it's counterproductive to my creative process of being able to walk into a room confidently and not just audition for another spot. Like when they send you to Michigan in February, it feels like they're sending you to Kamchatka, Russia, so they can hopefully book you and send you to, I don't know, fucking Ethiopia, some, I don't know, someplace. It's just like the runaround, so that I don't want to do that anymore. I don't think I want to spend my focus on that. So I want to book shows that I want to do. I want to try to focus on getting in new rooms. I'm going to put these contacts that I've made at festivals to work, and hopefully that will allow me to nurture this new material in a positive way and not have to rely on old killer material. Because there's been times last year where I was like, man, I should work on these jokes, but the audience is trash and they're not going to stick in with these stories, or they're going to talk through it. I'm not doing that anymore. So that is my third goal. It's going to be difficult because there's going to be the lean months where I'm like, man, I could really use the $250 or whatever. But hopefully I get to a point where I don't have to do that and can put the work first. I really want to get back to writing for myself and not writing for particular audiences. Are relying on old bits.
I was gonna say, but you don't feel like you have been writing for particular audiences, right? Or you're just saying like, oh, I know this old bit about drinking or this old kind of dirty joke will work.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I don't think you've ever particularly said, I'm gonna write some shit that's gonna kill in these one-nighter bars, you
No,
know?
but I there are times where I just feel like I can't pull the trigger on new stuff because I want to be protective of it. Like, I don't want to lose confidence in it if it's, I feel like it's a, it's
And you want
a,
to do well at the
yeah.
shit ball show and try to
Yeah.
sell some merch. Yeah.
And I can do that.
Yeah. And it
So.
doesn't even necessarily have to be a shit ball show. Like that sort of, I hear you. There's a lot of parallels too, because I've been thinking about this too, because my third goal is like to get a dry bar, which I've been talking about off and on, right? Like I feel like I've got enough clean material and I've got that's good camera I can send like a proof of concept. Like this is what it would be, right? Okay. And so, which, you know, when I was in Wisconsin, I bailed on doing the 30-minute set that I have for Dry Bar because like the crowd was only reacting to dirty stuff, and it's like, okay, I got to do well. I'm the headlining. I'm closing the shit out. You know, I'm going to do it this weekend. These three shows I'm coming up at the Memento Bar, and I'm telling myself I'm going to go in and just do like this stuff. But then also like again, when you're headlining, it's like a little tough, you know.
Yeah,
Like, and
it
so, but
is.
I'm also going to try and have more integrity to kind of stick to this. My third goal is to get a dry bar or a late night set. Because I
Oh,
do have some
yeah.
stuff I think would work really well on like a tight, punchy, like 5.5 to 7, you know. And both of those are big time long shots. Those are big time long shots. But I want
Love
one of
it.
my goals to be kind of like a shoot for the moon type of thing, because why not?
Yeah,
Why
man.
not just take a shot, and who cares if it doesn't work? I've taken lots of shots that didn't work before, and I'm still here. It's fine, you know.
I'm still standing.
Which is the follow-up single by Fun Lovin' Criminals. I'm still standing.
Because
They're
I'm
a
white.
remake.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, because the police, like like they sent in the negotiator to get rid of me.
They got mental health
They
units,
brought me
bro.
some sandwiches, you know. They were very nice.
I love this goal so much because I think you would be perfect for dry bar. Like your joke writing process is something that I think that's unique and valuable to them. I'm excited. I don't think I've seen you
Thank
work
you.
this clean material. I haven't seen you do set, so I'm excited to see where it goes. And also, we're always I know late night isn't what it used to be. It's not the kingmaker, but we still want to do it.
I still want to do it. I want the experience of going and doing it and having that credit. You know, because like I haven't had, you know, new festivals are great, but as far as like the logos that you put on the flyers, you know, like I haven't had a new one of those in a while, you know, and I'm very lucky that I have three or four that can get thrown up there, but it'd be nice to throw like a Tonight Show or, you know, Seth Meyers show or whatever would be really cool, or Dry Bar. You know, I'll take any of them.
Yeah.
I'll take anything.
I'll take a TikTok logo.
You may have seen him on TikTok. That's a great
that's the new thing. That's the new hotness.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't have any followers on there, but he is on
there. He is on there.
So there's your TikTok logo.
You might have swiped past his face.
So that is our three goals for next year, for 2024. We encourage everybody to keep listening to the podcast and see how we're doing as we're, you know, working on these things. And also we've got a couple of emails of people, that listeners that have sent in their accomplishments and goals, which we're going to read now, but this is not cut off for the next couple of weeks, at least if you're a listener of the podcast or you're just getting caught up on these episodes and you're a comedian, please, we'd love to find out what were you proud of this past year? And what are your goals for next year? You can send those to our email address at mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. But we have two that were sent in that I want to get to right now. First one is from Sohail Ali. Sohail, thanks so much for writing into the podcast. Bloomington based comic who just worked with you, actually, Dwight.
Yeah.
You know,
Shout out to Sohail.
Yeah, he says, hi, Matt and Dwight, longtime listener, first time writer. I have been listening to your podcast for some time now and have really been enjoying it. Thanks for always sharing such great advice for new comics, which I always appreciate. Also, side note, it was so great working with Dwight at Helium a few weeks ago. I learned a lot by watching him on stage and how he interacted with audience members after the show. What an excellent point, Sohail. We haven't talked about that very much, but it's not just like we talk about be in the room, watch other comics.
Yeah.
To learn when you're a young comic. But yeah, watch how they're handling themselves, you know, selling merch, you know, being gracious. You're not off the clock yet. When you're talking to those people after the show, you are still on the clock. Goes on to say, inspired by you guys, I wanted to share my comedy accomplishments and goals as well. So here they are. Three things I accomplished in comedy in 2023. One, got into my first comedy festival, Let's Fest Indy. Congratulations. That's awesome. The first one's always a big one. So that's awesome that you got into that festival, which also I heard was a hot festival this year, right? Like most of the shows were sold out. And
I heard. That's what I heard. I did one show and then I was booked the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
But I heard great things.
Yeah. Number two, got passed as a local regular at the Comedy Attic. Congratulations.
Let's go.
Yep. Hosting on the weekends now. You can catch Ohio on the weekends at the Attic now. And then number three, started co-producing shows every other week. He came on as one of the co-producers for the Hoppy Hour, which is at Hoppy Wobbles Pub in Bloomington, Indiana. And so that is a weekly show. So that might be how they're doing the co-producing, as they're splitting up the weeks, which is very smart because I know there's three or four of those guys that produce those shows. So that's a very smart way to do it and get your feet wet with producing without it being a complete drain on your soul.
Like, that burnout, baby.
Every single week. Yeah. So congratulations on all three of those, Sohail. Those are all great accomplishments. Thanks for sharing them with us. These are his comedy goals for 2024. Number one, write for at least an hour a day to build towards a 30 plus minute set that I am proud of. I think if you are writing at least an hour a day, you will get that easily. Number two, perform 200 plus total sets in the year. He is at 165 sets for 2023 as of December 13th. So he might be a few more than that before the New Year's bell drops.
Yep.
Whatever you got, the bull drops. Yeah, that's ambitious. That's a lot of stage time, but I'm not surprised by this either because I do see him out there all the time at different mics and stuff. And then number three, work at two clubs that I haven't worked at before. Very ambitious. I mean, that is a big one, and it's good to have a big goal like that because it is hard to get into a club as a new comic. This is one of the harder things. And so that being said, I know that he already works at Helium, so he's already working at a club that's outside of his home club. So I'm confident that you're going to get that as well. So
yeah, I love those. I love those goals. Be ambitious and just stick with it. Thanks for listening to the podcast as well. I hope that throughout next year, during the tough times, the down times when you're not getting anything, we continue to push you. So keep pushing, man. You're on the right track.
Yeah. He signs off by saying, thanks for letting me share this. I'm looking forward to us all crushing our goals next year. All the best. Sincerely, Sohail Ali. Yes, everything that Dwight just said, man, it's hopefully by verbalizing and writing these out and crystallizing these goals, it's going to help you achieve them than them just being nebulous, you know, right. And just be like, oh, I just want to do better. You know, it's just such a open-ended thing, you know.
As you fire up Fortnite. Man, yeah. I wish I was doing better.
Ah, man, why is anybody booking me? You see how hard I'm crushing right now on Call of Duty? I'm making all my team laugh on my Call of Duty headset right now. And our other email for today is from Anam Chowdhury. Anam, a great comic down there in Louisville, Kentucky. She says, hey, fellas, longtime listener, first time writer. Anam Chowdhury, she puts her pronunciation in there, which is great. Which makes me know. I actually was mispronouncing your first name, Anam. I'm sorry, I was putting too much A on it. So thank you for correcting me. I wanted to share my three things I'm proud of and three goals for next year. But just want to say, first off, I'm so grateful to have such a productive gossip podcast available. Hell yeah. Somebody knows the real thing that people come to this podcast for. For those occasional times, we vague post the shit out of things.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our chats are going to get leaked and it's over for both of us.
She's grateful to have such a productive gossip podcast available, especially as a comic on the road a lot. I love music, but listening to 6 hours of songs is not as valuable and engaging and engaging as listening to you two, which is very sweet. Very nice of you to say that.
Thank you.
Also, I beat Neil because this was the number two podcast on my Spotify Wrapped.
Yeah, take it, Neil.
Yeah, finally we got some beef between Anam and Neil.
Ain't nobody said number one, though.
That's the battle everybody wants. Actually, she does say it would be number one if I had discovered it sooner in the year. So look forward to being your number one next year, Anam. We really do. Yeah. On to the list of accomplishments and goals. I'm proud of myself for a lot this year, but the things that stand out. Number one, my 2023 goal was to host at one club a month and expand into newer club territory, which I kind of accomplished. Did not get exactly one club a month hosting gigs, but did get to host 11 times at 5 different clubs across 2 states.
That's dope.
That's huge. It's hard to host in another city because they usually just draw from their local talent pool. So that's great. That's a really, it's a big accomplishment for sure. Number two, got to do 12 Don't Tell comedy shows across 7 different cities.
Wow. Yeah,
that's more than I've ever done.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love these shows and the vibe they bring. Some of them can be really intimate, so it's helped me a lot with crowd work skills. I used to be afraid of the crowd before, and now I feel more comfortable with going off script sometimes. That is, first of all, that's excellent. That's awesome that you're getting comfortable and confident in your own skill set, that you can go off script and kind of play around a little bit and know that you're going to be fine. But yeah, man, doing those little house shows like that
it's
all about the intimacy and about being real and being in the moment for sure. Number three, I love this goal. This accomplishment. This is such a great accomplishment. She says, finally started taking care of my health. Holy shit. Talk about an amazing and important accomplishment that we should all be hopefully posting every year is she's prioritizing her health and herself. And we're so, so glad that you are. That's a huge accomplishment. And
that's huge. That's awesome. Yeah. And to be cognizant of it and just like that affects everything. So you can't do this unless, health is wealth.
Yeah.
Health is wealth. So I love that goal.
Yeah,
damn,
for sure.
I put mine in shame. I should have said something like that.
Well, that's okay. You're gonna blow out of the water on these goals. Here we go. So number one, her goals are free write for 5 minutes every day without missing any days. All sounds like Dwight's got like another 25 minutes on you every day, but that's okay.
She probably has a real job.
She does have a job. She has a real job.
She can't sit there in her basement and just sipping coffee.
That's a great goal. And again, I think a lot of our listeners are going to share that goal too, is I think we're all kind of moving towards that as a way to be more cognizant about being more proactive about writing, you know, and unlocking those gears. Number two, write one new joke a week, especially one that isn't about me or my life. That is so good. Wow. God, that is so good, because like it's so easy to write self-referential and autobiographical jokes, and to challenge yourself to write something that is observational about the outside world is a great kind of deliberate choice.
I love
is
that.
Awesome. Yeah.
I love that so much. It's such, it's once again, it's cognizant of where comedy's headed, where it's been. Like, nothing's going to outlive your material. And if you can be versatile in your joke writing, that's going to be the most important thing. So I love that goal.
So this is an interesting take that she also has as part of the number two there about writing a joke that isn't about her or her life. Her goal is to center the audience's experiences now. So she's trying to maybe bring it all together with, you know, stuff, because, you know, she's in the Midwest, so she's not performing for a lot of Muslim ladies like herself of color, you know? And so this idea of, I like the idea of framing it this way. You're centering the audience experience. Like, we're all going to bring, because she's still going to do those jokes about her and her life. Yeah. But just like having some common ground stuff, you know, is going to be huge for sure. And her third goal for next year is go west. I want to unlock new locations on the map. Hell yeah.
Another Oregon Trail it.
Video game reference.
Yep.
This is the new thing. It's music and video games, and then maybe some comedy talk if we get into it. But yeah, head west. It's there's the thing with heading west, though, is like very quickly there's nothing out there until you get to Denver, just as a heads up. Like, you can, there's some shows in Illinois, and then, you know, it gets more and more sparse and the drives get longer and longer. Great stuff, obviously, in Omaha and Kansas City and things like that. But just be forewarned. It's, you're going to be doing a lot more driving if you're going west for shows.
If you got to. Yeah, it's if money is not the main goal and you can fly, that's the move, because, you know, I think when you go to Denver, sometimes you fly, sometimes you drive, but don't you rent a car so you can get around?
If I fly in, I'll rent a car, because, you know, you're also doing shows in Boulder. You're doing, like, you know, like, I'm going to Colorado in January. The main reason I'm going is to see my friends Murder by Death play in Estes Park. They play at the Stanley Hotel, which is the Shining Hotel. They play there every year. They do a residency, and it's turned into a really fun thing. And I just do shows around it.
Right.
But it's in Estes Park, because it's up in the mountains. So if I don't drive, I have to rent a car, and I have to rent like a little crossover SUV with four wheel drive in case it snows, you know? So those trips are awesome. Not about the money. You know, I do some shows to underwrite it. And of course, then write it all off on my taxes. It's sometimes I'll drive out there too, you know, just because why not? You know?
Yeah. There's value in just going to Denver and doing like four nights of spots.
Yes,
like easily. sincere value. Like, it's so fun. It's a great state. So I love going west.
Yeah, definitely. Anand signs off, but can't wait to hear more of the podcast this year or next year. Hope your families are well and that you all get to enjoy your time with them over the holidays. Well, we've already heard that Dwight's a little stressed out, but okay. And
I got parties to host all next week. So tune in next week. See how I'm doing.
Yeah. Happy New Year, your friend Anam. So thank you, Anam, and Sohail for writing in. We appreciate both of those. We did get a question for the pod, which we are going to punt until the new year. This is going to be our last episode for this year. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll start recording again the first week of January. Because, I mean, we don't need to do 52 episodes in a year. We could do 50 episodes in a year and be 50. Fine. You know, that's fine. Yeah.
Life's about compromise, not about arbitrary numbers. And 50 is great.
Yeah. But if you do have a question for the podcast, or you want to get in on the accomplishments and goals, you can email us again at the email address, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com, mattanddwight@gmail.com. I think that's just about it. I'm very happy that we're doing this podcast. I say we should do at least 50 more, and then assess then. We'll reassess then.
See where our numbers are.
Yeah.
They're even. We got work to do.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I don't mean, you know, like, people that, I don't know if people know this, but you handle all the, and which was kind of when I hit you up about, do you want to do a podcast? It'll be structured like this. This is what we'll do. I even said, it's like, I don't want to know anything. Like, I just want to show up and talk. like you handle all of the behind the scenes stuff. So I don't even know what the numbers are. So when you tell me that they're doing good, it's like, to me, it's like, oh, I've got like 12 listeners. Cool. You know?
Still in double digits, baby.
That's good. That's good for me. Yeah. So, but yeah, if you said we're doing all right, then we're doing okay. I'm going to take your word on it.
Well, this has been a great year, Matt, and we some fun-loving criminals for the end of the year. Mm-hmm. And I look forward to working with you next year, man. We got to do more actual shows together.
Yeah, we can do a little tour or something like that, a little do the joke thing, 2024.
Yeah. Oh, baby, bring it back. Bring it back.
Yeah, well, we'll do that, and then we'll bring the Scooby snacks. All right, play our tune. Play our... Thank you.